This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits of music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars. Players only, come on, put your pinky
rings up to the moon. To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
Battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's the drive! Way back! It might be! It could be! Yeah!
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
All right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. Sound a little bit clearer today. We are live Sunday night, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. We online, ratpacksports.com. We're streaming on the Rat Pack Radio, WRPR app. We are streaming on TuneIn. We're also on Podbean for our podcast. You can find us also on iHeart, Spreaker as well. You can hit us up on Facebook, Rat Pack Sports Show is the group and the like page. And you can find us on Twitter also at Rat Pack Sports. Go ahead and add us. You can also add us on Facebook. And we are here, man. We are live, and we're going to have a really good show. Sunday night, we're getting close to NFL free agency. It hasn't hit yet, but I'll be the first one on record to say I haven't seen this much activity on – Before free agency in a very long time. So much going on, and we haven't even hit it yet. We also have, let's see, where are we? Where's my screen? Breaking news all around the league. Trades, we talked a little bit about the trades And we also talked a little bit about some of the moves that we expect to happen. We're going to have Nicholas Lane joining us. I want to say Boss Hogg will be joining us all also. So when we get these guys on, we'll talk more. But we're going to get into – we're going to talk in a lot of NFL tonight. Leading up to free agency, obviously – there's a lot of things going on anyway around the league. But it's been fairly active. And we had some news here break at about maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock. And it shocked the football world. I would say that. It shocked the football world a lot we weren't expecting to happen. And that breaking news is Tom Brady is returning to at least fulfill the last year of his contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it was confirmed. Usually I don't even talk about these type of things unless I get a solid confirmation. But, I mean, when it comes from his personal Twitter account and his Instagram account, that means a little bit. So, and it's all over the place. So, it is happening. Tom Brady is returning to the Bucs to at least, like I said, to at least fulfill the final years of his contract. And we at the Rat Pack, listen, I was ready to move on. We got our Super Bowl. I was happy. I was ready to move on and just start grooming the next franchise quarterback, whether that would have been Kyle Trask or somebody else that they brought in from free agency or trade. That's where I was at. So, but we also had the Rat Pack spoke, and we got Mr. William Graves on the other end with us right now. But we did speak of Brady. He's still at the top of the NFL. He's still one of the top three quarterbacks in his football game. Then there's only two other quarterbacks that I would probably put above him, and one of those is number 12 in Green Bay, and the other one, which you can argue, is probably Pat Mahomes, and I'm not even sure if Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than Brady right now, but he's younger, so you know. But next to Aaron Rodgers, there's not another quarter. I'm gonna just kill that talk. Patrick Mahomes is not better than Tom Brady right now, and Tom Brady's 43. So when the guy retires with that much juice left in the tank, and listening to his comments, he never shut the door completely. He always left it open for a possibility. And his retirement only lasted 2 months. So apparently the Bucs knew something we all didn't know, because Bruce Arians and those guys over there never shut the door completely on Tom Brady. Up until like maybe a couple weeks ago, there was still talk around the Bucs brass of Tom Brady possibly not being done. So I don't know what obviously he thought he was finished. He has the drive. He has the ability to play at a high level still. And personally, I think when you're that good, you keep going. I mean, as long as they do a good job of protecting him, he has the weapons around him. He can stay upright. Tom Brady can stay healthy. Vinny Testaverde. Let me name a few more. Testaverde, Warren Moon, Steve DeBerg, just to name a few, were quarterbacks that played well into their 40s. Were they, you know, this productive as a quarterback? No, they weren't. But they did play into their 40s, and they were, you know, decent quarterbacks for their respective teams. Especially Testaverde. I mean, Testaverde late in his career was a better quarterback than he was when he was here as a Buccaneer quarterback early on in his career. And Testaverde actually retired after having a pretty decent season, I think, for the New York Jets. And so he retired playing at a high level. I believe if Peyton Manning wasn't slowed down by the neck injury, he probably would have been another QB that, you know, played into his 40s and been productive. But that neck injury did a number to his arm strength. And, you know, as we saw and later on in, you know, Peyton Manning's career in Denver, those last two seasons, his arm was pretty much dead. But he was so good as a quarterback, decision-making, anticipating the throws, and doing all those things that he was still effective enough to get the job done. So Brady is back. It doesn't take away my thoughts on what this team needs to do to get better. It doesn't change the fact that we have holes we need to fill. Those holes still should be filled. Yes, bringing Tom Brady back, you know, 25, you know, his contract $25 million, but the cap hit is not $25 million. It's the way they structured it to where his contract is cap hit is actually fairly low compared to the money that he's actually making. So, We still have holes on the defensive side we need to address. We'll start to see some other players that were possibly thinking about moving on. A couple of offensive linemen, free agents that will probably end up staying now with Brady being back. But realistically, to give this chance a chance, this team a chance to fill some holes and bring in some depth on the other side of the ball, these guys are going to have to take some team-friendly deals to get that done, or Tom Brady will basically be coming back just to play another year and probably lose again in the second round or the NFC Championship, and then that'll be it. But to me, it puts us back in the conversation, definitely does. But in no right are we better than the Packers, better than the Rams. So we have to get better as a team to be ready for next season. And, you know, the schedule is tough. We've already, you know, seen those schedules. They're pre-made years in advance. Only two games are toss-ups, and those are the two games that they match up based on strength of schedule. So here we are, Sunday night, NFL free agency is upon us in just a few days. Brady's back. Deshaun Watson is pretty much cleared of, you know, his case. A lot of that now is just basically civil. So they'll figure out that number. And as soon as it was announced that no charges would be you know, press upon Watson, then boom, his value stock started rising and teams were inquiring about Deshaun Watson. So a lot of movement. Kirk Cousins get an extension. You know what? That he's the best guy out there for you, you do it. If these contracts, these quarterbacks in this league, for what it's worth, we can say whatever we want or how we feel about these guys, but you're paid based on what the team thinks you're worth. And he's an NFL starting quarterback that played a lot of years in this league, has been very productive, and last season probably had statistically one of his best seasons as a professional. It just so happened that the Vikings defense and injuries on the offensive end, you know, kind of put a damper on that. But, you know, Kirk Cousins, you know, deserve that money. That's what the Vikings think he's worth. So he gets the extension. Cowboys, in the blink of an eye, they trade Amari Cooper to the Cleveland Browns. They turn around and re-sign Gallup for $62 million. And now you're looking at a Cowboys team. They're just trying to free up money. I don't think Amari Cooper was a problem, but he was one of the highest paid guys on that offensive side of the ball. You know, this happens when you pay a quarterback. That's why I respect that crap out of Brady, because he could have been demanding these type of contracts for the last 15 years, but he doesn't. He don't take these huge deals because it straps the rest of the team when it comes down to the salary cap, when you don't have enough money to keep good players. So Brady has had team-friendly deals for at least, I know, the last 10 years. And you look at some of these guys around the league, you know, Mahomes, Kansas City time coming too, because Mahomes got a big contract. Cowboys with Dak Prescott, he just got his contract. So these are the ramifications of having these big-dollar quarterbacks that want to be the highest paid. Each and every quarterback that gets a new deal wants to set the new standard for highest paid quarterback. And it's like, look, guys, that's well and good and all, but if you want to be the highest paid quarterback and your salary is literally taking up about 20% of our cap, there's nothing we can really do to – you know, we could keep a good team, but it's a lot harder when you don't have the money to even re-sign your own value guys. And then they go on to other teams and they produce for other teams. So, you know, they're in that situation. Cardinals agreed to a 3-year contract with Zach Ertz. I'll get into this topic here a little bit later. You know, Devin McCourty is returning to the Patriots. Carolina Panthers are to be very aggressive in, you know, getting this Deshaun Watson. Colin Kaepernick. Apparently, this guy just likes putting out video every couple of years of him throwing the ball around, because, you know, by this point, I think it's a joke, and I think it's a push for him to still be in the news. He's had chances. He's had, you know, a workout schedule that he just refused to go to. or messed it up for himself. I was in Kaepernick corner. You know, that's his right to do what he did. And Neil, I was, you know, we went over all this. I was, you know, I was cool with that. I didn't have a problem with what he did. I understood why he did it. There was a lot of other things that happened that kind of had alternative motives, some of the stuff that he was doing. You know, there was, on the surface, it looked like he was doing this, but when you really, you know, dig down and do some a little bit of research into new stuff and you start putting stuff together, he was trying to, you know, spin a positive turn on things, and it didn't go that well. We didn't, you know, him wearing the pig socks kind of went the wrong way. I don't think he should have done that. That was a little bit, you know, too much. People talked about the Fidel Castro Malcolm X shirt that he had on. That shirt symbolized something different than what a lot of people took it. Obviously, Castro, you know, that's not going to set well with the, you know, Cuban community at all. But it's the resemblance of him and Malcolm X. There was a meeting that was done between those two back in the, I want to say, the 60s. And it was actually a meeting for, you know, a positive meeting. But due to the fact that, you know, Kaepernick went this route, obviously everything that he did is going to get scrutinized. And, you know, you have to be very cautious and strategic when you're protesting something as polarizing as what he was protesting. Now, I've always said, if you're going to publicly put on this display, then you cannot be private about your business of how you go about making the change. I didn't see enough of him on Twitter and social media being very open about what things he was doing in the community to change, you know, the mindset of what he was going about protesting. So at that point, you know, if you want to be private, that's fine. You can be private about what you do behind the scenes. But then you don't make it public. Once you make it public, then your efforts to combat and change for that said protest has to be public, or people not going to take you seriously and they just think you're doing it for attention. And that is exactly what a lot of people thought. So that's on Kaepernick and his people for not being more open about what he was doing. Yeah, he may have been doing a lot of things, and there's a lot of things Kaepernick did do prior to him protesting in the community that was really doing some good stuff. But you just can't. You submarine yourself, then you got to show people what you're doing. So he didn't, and I think ultimately there's the baggage that a lot of NFL teams don't want. Now, if he would have been public and open about what he was doing, a team could have used that and took advantage of it and brought him on and use that to propel and push his you know, his, I'm not going to use that word because it's, then that, it sounds a little bit, you know, sketchy, but to push his purpose, you know, of what he was going after, you know, it could have been used as a positive thing for a team, but he did a lot of things, and this is what I always say, man, these players sometimes they don't have the people that's in their corner necessarily don't have the best interest in mind of the players, because a lot of times, and it's just not with Kaepernick, but a lot of players athletic professionally, you have bad people in your corner, people that you necessarily trust with everything that you got that ain't really in it for you, they in it for them. So these are, you know, what they call them, groupies, pretty much. They hang around you, they're yes men. They're yes men, and they're going to say yes to everything that you ask them as long as they keep getting their ends. So those are the people that, I, you know, mess it up for a lot of these players. Some of them can be family. Some of them can be, you know, longtime friends that you've known and grew up with. But, you know, you need people in your corner that's going to, you know, when it comes down to stuff like that, a lot of these athletes need people in their corner that's going to tell them when they're doing something stupid and just say no. You can't do that. I won't support that. And then a lot of these guys, you know, wouldn't do what they do. We can get a whole different, we can go down a whole different avenue, a whole different line about his protesting and what he was standing or kneeling for. We've done that in the past, so I don't want to, you know, go down that road too deep right now. But I'll just say this. Again, and this goes back to people in your camp that you trust necessarily don't have sometimes your best, you know, best interest. So I'm not sure. But at that time, rumors were the woman that Kaepernick was dating was a big time activist for Black Lives Matter. And a lot of, you know, rumor is that he was, you know, figured he was doing something good and was kind of talked into it, or, you know, got involved in the movement, and this is the route he took. He could have took that route and did a lot of different things differently. Kaepernick could probably still be playing. Till this day, I will go on record and say, look around the league, Kaepernick probably is good enough to be on somebody's roster as one of 64 quarterbacks. I'm sure he is, but there's a question mark. What is he going to bring baggage-wise? And right now, you're not a starting quarterback. So your baggage is a lot bigger than your production. And when your baggage becomes bigger than your production, it's a wrap. It is a wrap. Terrell Owens, Antonio Brown, Kaepernick. I could, you know, there's a whole list of players that was pretty much forced out because the baggage outweighs the production. And when the baggage outweighs the production, you can pretty much hang it up, cancel your Christmas, and you're not going to be around. So that is that, man. And, you know, Kaepernick had the video of him training. His agent says he's ready. Listen, bro, you're done. you are done. You're not playing another snap in the NFL. You better be warming up to go play in the XFL or the UFL, one of those leagues that they can. You'll be the star. You'll be one of the stars of the league, and your name alone, people is gonna watch to see what Colin Kaepernick is doing. That is your best chance, not the NFL. The NFL turns over players and quarterbacks every year. You're not playing another snap in the league. Whether the video is a publicity stunt or it's authentic and genuine for him wanting the opportunity to play football again, we just don't. I'm going to say this. 2 years ago, he had a huge thing the NFL set up. Basically a workout, a pro day style workout for Colin Kaepernick. And word was all 32 teams were going to be attending this workout that Kaepernick was going to be doing. This was a legit opportunity for Kaepernick to get back on the NFL sideline. And day of, he threw a monkey wrench in everything and changed the venue that he was supposed to be at and went relocated to another venue where nobody knew he was going to be there. And, you know, everybody pretty much missed that. And there were some other things going on about who was going to have control of the video footage and, you know, power trips and all of that. And they just pretty much screwed themselves in that process. So for me, you had your chance. I don't want to see another video of you throwing a football. Unless you're going to one of these other leagues, which, hey, you can play football in those. You could be the face of one of those leagues if you really want to play football. But playing football in the NFL for Colin Kaepernick is a done deal. To me, if it happens, I'll be shocked. But it is a done deal for Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. There's too many young guys coming out of the college right now. You have a great young core of guys currently in the league, and you have your older guys who apparently can still play a little bit. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring him in because he has called him as well. So, left field correspondent Carlton Cook is on the line with us. What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Just, you know, sitting here talking about the NFL quarterback situation and Kaepernick, you know, putting on his pro day video, pretty much. And I was telling William, I don't know if he's doing this for publicity or is he like really serious about playing in the league. Personally, I don't think he's that serious about playing in the league because if he was, he probably could have got another shot at being in the league. He had a couple opportunities and he botched those. So I don't know how serious he is. And I went on the record. Is he good enough right now to be a top 64 quarterback in the NFL? Yes, he is. I think he's good enough to be at least a backup on half of the rosters in this league right now. But the question I posed was, what is Kaepernick being on your roster gonna do with what type of distractions will come with that. And if part of those stipulations would be, this is if he was to ever get a deal, would he kneel, continue to kneel, or would he stand? And I think a lot of teams, at this point, bro, stand up. It don't even – we're so far past that, and so many people are so much more informed about all of that, that you kneeling wouldn't even make sense. Because, number one, we all know what that is. It's a political movement. It's just like a Democrat, a Republican, a conservative, whatever political ideology you want to put down there, you throw that right in there. And at this point, like I said, there's enough information out there now to where people are actually coming out against that, because there's not enough being done about the everyday on the streets. You know where I'm going. So you can decide when it's time to cast a vote, you show up. And then in between all that, you disappear, while yet these same people that live in these urban areas being screaming it at the top of their lungs about doing something about the violence, black on black violence, injustices, and all of that between the election cycle. You don't hear from them. They go silent, and then when it's in the next year, they show up again, and everybody is all, hunky dory about it. You're a false movement at that point. You're not authentic, and you're not legit, because me being black, growing up in that situation, I done seen it myself. Left field correspondent, you done seen it for yourself. You know what it's like. So,
right.
We've lived it. Next door to people that's been, trying to make a stand for this type of stuff. For at least, I'm 43, so that long. And they go unheard, and these people, and I'm gonna just say that these people show up every 4 years, and they're front and center of every single freaking television outlet, and they're not doing anything. So you wanna know why? He probably took the slack that he did for standing up for that cause. Bruh, you're not standing up for something that's authentic. These are ideology, a movement that is basically helping advance your democratic leaders, because that's what it's about. And they're not doing nothing. Right. So at this point, if he was to come back and let's say he gets a job, bro, don't even kneel. Do what you do in your community. Leave it at that. But there's no sense in kneeling, because now people are just going to laugh at you, and they're going to think you're really a joke. So,
right.
That's where I would go on that. And I know a lot of people, like, prior to 2016, 2020, they were on the other side of the fence on that topic. Now they're not on the other side of the fence. They're saying the same thing everybody else is saying. It's like, what are we doing? So that's again, that'd be a conversation for breaking bread, because I think we can go a long way with that, just that topic alone, and really make some sense of it. But we don't have that much time here on this show tonight, but since it's tied into, you know, Kaepernick, then that's the only reason it's going to get brought up on here. But from a sports standpoint, but yeah, I think dudes should just, you know, try out for one of those other leagues. You're not playing another down in the NFL.
Yeah. I was gonna text you, or I texted you on the message board. He's doing that for USFL. He ain't doing it for the NFL. He's too far gone for the NFL.
And I would agree with that. If that's the case.
He got his money from the NFL. He got his money from Nike.
Yeah,
he's still getting paid from Nike right now. So it's not about money right now. I think it started about the injustice, and again, like you said, he had some hiccups, major hiccups, and people are going to do the work to discredit what he was going to do regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that didn't help. And right now, bro, I honestly feel like it's all about the USFL. He's ready to get signed in the USFL.
Hey, that would be a good
NFL
move.
Is done.
That would be a good move for him, because with it being Kaepernick, you know, former MVP candidate in the NFL, you know, went to the Super Bowl. Kaepernick, early on in his career, was looking to be that next dude that we've been waiting to see since Michael Vick left the league. And we hadn't seen that, and he was well on his way. And I know a lot of people say, oh, well, when he did all that, he wasn't even starting. No, the dude wasn't starting because he was injured all the time. So, and then they say, well, he was doing that just to stay relevant. Kaepernick don't need that to stay relevant. This dude was one of the top quarterbacks in the league for like 4 or 5 years. So, he didn't need that to be relevant. I think he just made a huge miscalculation in some of the way he went about it. Not saying that he can't go about it and protest and stand up for something, but the man calculations was off. Like, he did some things that people ain't gonna never forgive him for. And you know, that's very understandable because that stuff touches a nerve with a lot of people. So, but, you know, in the USFL, you get a clean slate and you get to be a face of a new league. So why not? Why not? I think it'd be a good idea for him to go to the USFL. Hope, you know, barring that these leagues stay around long enough for them to have a player as a face of a league. I mean, I liked the AAF. I thought they were doing some great things, and then they kicked the bucket. They kicked the bucket because they ain't had the money. They made a bad investment, and it backfired on them. And they ended up going broke. And then you had, what was the other one? Was it the XFL, was it? Yeah, it was the XFL.
The first iteration of the XFL went broke.
Yep. And then
they came back,
and then COVID happened, and that was it for them.
And COVID happened.
So,
and that killed them, right?
That killed them. So, you know, they're trying to make another push. Look, I'm all well and good for some spring football. Hey, that
exactly.
I was happy.
That's what we do.
Yeah, shoot, I was happy to see some spring football And it wasn't bad football to watch. The games was actually entertaining. You know, I know people get caught right. up in the names and say, oh, well, they don't have no stars. Bro, I'm a football fan. What I want to see right. is just – I don't care about the names on the back of the jersey. Just give me something good to watch. And I can watch right. it all day. Right now, I could go watch a Little League football game if it's good enough. I don't need names on the back exactly. of the jersey to be entertained by football. So I thought the AAF was doing well, and I thought the XFL was doing well. And I think I can speak for every single last one of us, me, you, Boss Hogg, William Graves. Bro, we was not happy when they had to stop the leagues, especially yeah. with the AAF. Bro, that was – they was doing really good. And then next thing you know, it was like, oh, we're going to pause the season. And then 2 days later, hey, the league was shut down. I'm like, what? So whoever is behind these leagues, wherever the money at, man, please have it jump together so we can have us a feeder league that can kind of play hand-in-hand with the NFL, which I think actually helped develop some of these players now that you have a shortened preseason. And then you take right. those sorry behind officials that you got and you work them in the offseason and you make them officiate those games.
Exactly.
I don't know because if the NFL will do that, up. But, sure. you know, I think that'll be good for the referees. Association to contract themselves with both of those leagues. I mean, it's the NFL offseason, so what? You're not doing anything during the NFL offseason. They're sitting on the couch drinking beers like we are. So go out there and officiate, man. Get your craft up, man, so we won't be sitting over here on the show in the regular season talking about some side behind call you done blew on fourth down.
And, man, is the sad thing about NFL football as a whole, you want to watch when you like football, you want to watch it, and a bad officiating crew or a bad officiating day.
Yeah.
It feeds that narrative it's all rigged.
Yep.
It's all rigged.
Yep.
You know, it's just like like the Super Bowl This last Super Bowl we just passed.
Yeah.
When Jalen Ramsey and the receiver, he pushed Jalen Ramsey down.
Oh, yeah. Like
yeah. Touchdown goal. Yeah. It was like, bruh, that's game altering.
Yeah.
That is game altering. And they had to make up for that bad play. So, you know, when you look at people like, oh, it's rigged. Yeah, things like that. You have to be like, okay, it's rigged. I don't care about it now.
Yeah, and then add on top of that, you know, you got the situation they had in the NBA with the one official who was on record to admitting to, you know, not really throwing games, but doing enough to where they cover the spreads. And it's like,
right.
you know, when you got that, and then you see some of the calls that's made in the NBA, and, you know, baseball is what it is. So in hockey, I don't know. I mean, I watch the heck out of some hockey, but that's not one of the top three sports as far as, you know, revenue right. generators. When it comes to betting, I mean, people bet on hockey, but it ain't, you know, it ain't basketball, football, or baseball. So,
Right.
You know, you tend to not watch a hockey game and still call and be like, man, this is rigged. But,
right.
You know, for baseball, they done had their problems. NBA done had their problems. And so far, we haven't heard anything NFL-wise of, you know, stuff being, games being rigged or fixed or anything like that. But the way some of these calls are made, man, you have to question.
You already know, bro. I'm a left field correspondent.
Yeah,
I'm ready for that smoke.
Yeah,
You know I good on the message board. If it rigged, bro, I don't care. It's done. I see it all the time. Because it happens too much for the product. It happens too much. You know, they need to figure out how to change that human aspect as least as possible.
Yeah, and you know they got the camera set up and the different camera angles, but then you know when everything if you have to go to review for like the most simplest calls, then
right.
that's a problem, and not only that, but then it drags along the game because these side behind officials can't get it right. I'm sitting at home on the couch, and I can clearly see that this play isn't a hold, or that's not a pass interference, or the ones that kill me. And, you know, our team has benefited from all of these bad calls. But the one rule that I wish they would take another look at is reinstalling unintentional face mask. So,
oh man,
you shouldn't be flagged 15 yards if your hand just grazed across somebody's face mask. Or you tap somebody in the helmet. You tap somebody in the helmet, namely the quarterback. These are all on the quarterbacks. You reach up to block a ball, and your gravity takes in effect, and you swipe down to try to knock the pass down, and you come down and you hit him in the head. On a third and seven.
Exactly. So
they get an automatic first down for something that was ticky tack. So get rid of the freaking 15-yard automatic first down and start going back and deciding if this is egregious or if it's unintentional.
Right.
Because that has a huge impact on every game. Every game. And you know, we get it. We're in 2022 and everybody is about, you know, safety and, you know, making sure these players, you know, post-career lives a good life and not suffer so much head trauma. We get all that. But you got to stop flagging jokers for making a good legal slobber knocker hit.
That's the whole point of defense, man.
Yeah.
You cannot continue to hamper the defense and you want a decent game. You can't do it.
No. Because for me, and I don't know if it's this way for you, left field correspondent, we got William Graves on the line and we also got Boss Hog on the line as well. So all four of us is on the line.
I got a question for Big Willie.
Okay.
What number did you wear in high school?
Seven.
Seven, bruh.
Sir, I,
seven.
I wore number five.
Well, my receiver is going to draft.
Carlton on the same page as me, bro.
Hold on. I missed it, dude. It just went over my head. What?
So Sean asked him how, when you played ball, what number did you wear?
Yeah.
I said seven. I said seven because of the amount of receivers he going to draft.
Oh. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, left field correspondent, I know you was on the front. I know you was on the offense and the defensive line.
Yes, sir.
Right, you didn't have number seven. Do you really have number seven?
Oh, no. Sean was asking William, and I butted in.
Oh, you asked what? Oh, okay. See, that's what I thought he asked. Oh, okay.
I asked Big Willie what number he wore in high school when he played ball. Yeah, and Carlton was on the same page as me.
So, William, what number did you wear playing football in high school, man?
I wore number five.
Dang, you was close. No, hey, that's
so close.
Bruh, you were. How is that even possible? Then maybe that's why William was silent when you said number seven. Cause
right. You're like son of a biscuit.
Fudge, oh fudge.
Can we give a moment of silence? I want to give
Brady
a moment of silence. No, I don't care about that. I want to give a moment of silence.